Looking for truth, I found answers.
I thought I had it all figured out. Then I found purpose.
I was lost, but then I found a place to belong.
I was abused, but now I'm healed.
I was in chains, but now I'm set free.
I was bitter. Then I found grace.
In 1992, I saw a video of believers being baptized in Albania in the Adriatic Sea. And they were some of the first believers to be baptized in Albania for centuries. The communist government had just fallen in 1991. Albania was Muslim under the Ottoman Empire for 500 years. And then after its independence, a communist government took control and it was communist and atheist for 50 years. It was the world's only officially atheist country. But God's people around the world were praying that Albania would open up. It was the most closed, isolated country in the world, much like North Korea today. And so in response to people's prayers, God caused the communist government to fall, which brought democracy and freedom and the gospel. In 1995, we came. We've been serving here in Albania and among the Albanian people in the Balkans for the last 19 years. We came with a call to church plant, to preach the gospel where Christ is not known so that those who have never heard it can hear. And so we came, studied the language in Tirana, the capital, for a year, prayed for God to direct us to an unreached city, cities with no churches, no believers, no missionaries. And so in 1996, we moved to Fuskruya. We began by sharing the gospel with people in their homes through visits and drinking coffee and reading the scripture. This was the first time they'd ever heard the word of God, ever heard from the Bible. We prayed with people, prayed for healing. And through that ministry, one by one, God began to save Albanians. And the Church of Jesus was born in Fuskruya, Fuskruya Assembly of God. One young lady had a vision of God one day. This was before we moved to Fuskruya. She saw him And she began to pray to him, but didn't know his name. After we came to the city and shared the gospel with her, she said, "I saw Jesus. That was Jesus in my vision." And she gave her heart to Christ and then got discipled and became our children's pastor, went to the Bible school as well. And so the Lord did many miracles like that and leading the first believers to Christ. After planting that first church in Fushkruya, God began to speak to us as well as to our whole missionary team and national leadership team about starting a Bible school. So he led us back to Tirana, the capital of Albania, where we founded a Bible school, Evangelical Theological College, in 2003. At the same time, we founded the national church, the Albanian Assemblies of God. And so we've been training Albanian ministers, church planters, missionaries for the last 11 years, and God is doing a great work here.
Albania is a developing country, so it has a lot of economic challenges. And for that reason, we have done a lot of compassion ministry. We have helped with a lot of humanitarian aid over the years. We've helped in flood situations. We've helped in refugee situations. We even ran a refugee camp housing refugees from Kosovo during the war in 1999. When you're in economic need, it means that you need someone beyond yourself to help you, to minister to you, to encourage you. And that's a great platform and opportunity for the gospel.
In 1991, when the communist government fell, there were only 3 known believers in the country and 0 churches. And today, there are 200 evangelical churches and over 20,000 believers. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And he has been true to his word. Our vision is to church plant all over Albania and then outside of Albania, to send out Albanian missionaries. And so we are also working in Kosovo and Macedonia, Montenegro, and Turkey. Montenegro is the most unreached country in Europe. There are only 3 churches and 120 to 150 believers. In Kosovo, before the war in 1999, there were only 150 known believers and 6 evangelical churches. Today, there are 25 churches, 1,500 to 2,000 believers. Just a beginning, but a great start among the Albanian people of that nation. We have a church planting team in Skopje, the capital of Macedonia, and so they are planting the first Albanian church in Macedonia, and our goal is that every Albanian in the Balkans and then beyond have an opportunity to hear the gospel, to have a church planted in their community, in their language, and for them to be changed. I want to thank all of you who are partners. Thank you for your prayers, for your support, for standing with us. We couldn't be here and would not be here without you. So thank you for standing with us and all that you're doing to build the kingdom of God here in the Balkans and beyond.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I don't know about being a hero, but I know one, Jesus, and he's building his church all around the world. I get the distinct sense this morning that Jesus is in the house. Anybody else feeling that? You know, if we ask God, he'll answer. And as we sang, if we really want God, he'll give himself to us. And if we fully surrender ourselves to him, he'll use us. He'll meet us in miraculous ways. And so I pray that as your faith rises today, that God would open up your heart, expand your faith, expand your vision, deepen your experience with Jesus, your love for him, and your love for the people that he loves. Lost people, unreached people, people that are waiting to hear the gospel for the first time. I just so much appreciate you and your partnership in the gospel. I hope that you understand we couldn't be in Albania and the Balkans without partners like you. We are your hands extended because of your faithful prayers and your generous giving. We're there, and a lot of people are hearing the gospel for the first time. So we thank you and thank God. God sent us to Albania over 20 years ago to preach the gospel where Christ is not known. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God for everyone who believes it. How many of you here today believe? I pray that's why you're here. And this power of the gospel has transformed Albania from being the most closed country in the world to perhaps the most open country in the Muslim world today. Today, the most closed country in the world is North Korea. And I'm praying and believing for God to do in North Korea what he's done in Albania. Why? Because I've seen him do it. He can tear down any wall, any regime, any government, any demonic power, and that's his heart and his will. God has worked in his church in Albania, is working in his church here, and we just pray that he will continue to multiply his work. Today is the week after Easter, and it's Baptism Sunday. I don't think there's any other better time or better way to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and the new life in Christ that he gives to those who believe than today in this way. So we're going to talk about baptism and the Great Commission. My call to Albania, as you saw in the video, began with seeing those believers in Albania being baptized in the Adriatic Sea in 1992. Some of the first believers to be baptized there for centuries. After seeing that video, God moved me to pray for Albania, and through a year of prayer, God spoke to me in prayer and spoke to me through his word and called me to Albania. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. What a wonderful promise we have. Have you believed? Have you been baptized? Are you saved? If not, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be baptized. Today is the day to choose to believe and follow Jesus. I want to let you know, as well as Pastor Wayne and Tim have said, that the baptism is still open today. So if you didn't come prepared to be baptized, but choose to repent and believe in Christ today and want to be baptized, you can still get in on it. So talk to Pastor Tim or one of the other pastors here, please. The message this morning is believe, be baptized, and be a witness to the world. If you believe and are baptized, if you are an active witness to the world, God will save you, and God will use you to save many others, to lead many others to Christ. Let's be clear. In order to be saved, you don't have to be baptized in water. You all understand that? The Bible clearly teaches that in order to be saved, two things are required. Number one, repent of your sins. And number two, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it takes to be saved. But if you are saved, if you choose to follow Christ, you will be baptized because Jesus commanded it, and we want to obey and follow him. And that's why you're going to be baptized today, yes? Praise the Lord. We see baptism all through the Gospels and in the book of Acts as well. In Acts, actually, we see that those who believed in Christ were baptized immediately. We often separate the two events, but they really go together. Water baptism and believing in Christ are found through the scriptures. Mark chapter 1, verse 4 says that John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. In Matthew chapter 3, it even says that Jesus was baptized. He said to fulfill all righteousness, to do the right thing. We know that Jesus didn't need to be baptized in order to repent of sin because he was without sin. But he came and he was baptized because he came to take our sin upon himself and show us the way to be saved. And so we follow him. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached the same message, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And so baptism is about repenting, turning away from sin, believing, choosing to follow Jesus, serving him. After the resurrection of Jesus and before his ascension back to heaven, Jesus gave us a final command. We find it in all of the Gospels. We call it the Great Commission, and it must be accomplished before he returns. He said this gospel must be preached in all nations before the end comes. Let's read together in the Great Commission account from Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. Mark 16, 15 through 20. Verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word with signs that accompanied it. First, God calls us to believe. Look at verse 16. Whoever believes, say believes. Whoever believes will be saved. What does he cause us to believe in? He calls us to believe in the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life that we should have lived, and he died the death that we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he was the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to whoever repents and believes. That is the gospel. How many of you believe that? You believe in this good news? For those of you that are being baptized today, and for those of us who have been baptized before, this is why you are being baptized. This is what it's all about. Speaking about the gospel in Galatians chapter 3, 8, Paul quotes Genesis 12, 3 saying, "Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." The gospel has always been tied to and intended for the nations. First, God said that he would save the Gentiles. The Gentiles are all of the peoples and nations outside of Jewish Israel that have yet to be reached with the gospel. That includes you. That includes me. That includes all the unreached people in the world that have yet to hear the good news of Jesus, which is nearly half the world's population. And he said to us that we would be saved by faith, by believing this good news, this message. The gospel is not just a New Testament idea. Sometimes we may think that. It was announced to Abraham in the Old Testament. It was always God's plan to save the Gentiles, to save the nations, to save the whole world. God promised that all peoples, that all nations would be blessed or would be reached through Abraham and through his son of promise who was to come, Jesus Christ. This promise that the Gentiles, the nations, would put their faith in Jesus. This is the heart of the mission of God from Genesis to Revelation. And fulfilling this promise, fulfilling this great commission from our Lord Jesus Christ, must be our purpose as a church. It's why we exist. It's why we live. That is why God exhorts us in Psalm 2:8, saying, "Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance." For many years, we asked God, not only for Albania, but for the Balkan nations. Next picture, please, the Balkan map. Over 99% of the 40 million people in the Balkans do not know Christ and have no witness of him. In answer to our prayer for these nations, the Holy Spirit came on me powerfully one day in December 2013 as I was worshiping and praying, and God spoke to me. He said this, "Just like Joshua and Caleb and Canaan, I have given you the Balkans, and I'm moving the mountains before you." I wept, I prayed, I thanked God. It was a divine confirmation. I had asked God hundreds, if not thousands of times, but this day was different. God answered and said, "I've given them to you." And so we are moving forward in faith on this promise to possess these nations for the kingdom of God. God said, "Ask me, and I'll give you the nations." How many of you believe that? I want to ask you a question today. What are you asking God for? What are you believing God to do in your life, in your family, in your school, in your workplace, in your church? What are you asking God to do in this city? What are you asking God to do in our nation, in America? In this election year and with everything that's going on, I don't think there's ever been a time or a year where we need God more, where we need to be praying and asking God, Lord, send us another great spiritual awakening. God, turn the hearts and minds of our people and our leaders to you. God, pour out a spirit of repentance and faith in Christ, a spirit of revival and resurrection and righteousness, government, your leaders, oh God, your people, oh God. Let's ask God. He'll answer. How many of you are asking God for the nations? We get caught up in our own lives and our own nation so often. What about the unreached? What about those who haven't heard? What about those who can't hear? Because they have no witness. Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Ask in faith. And then act in obedience, and God will do miracles. He will do the impossible in order to fulfill his promise in your life, in and through his church. As we prepare to return to Albania in August of this year, we intend to keep asking God for more. More lost people to be saved, more churches to be planted in dark areas, more leaders trained, more poor people helped in the name of Jesus. Our goal over the last 4 years in Albania was to plant 5 new churches. We started 9 new churches, all shining in their areas. Next picture, please. Launching out from Albania as a base, our goal over the next 4 years is to send our first Albanian workers and multinational teams to Kosovo, Montenegro, and Turkey, as well as to add to our team in Macedonia. Our vision is for a church planting movement. That means every local church is multiplying itself by starting other churches. One of our young leaders, named Gensi, feels called to Turkey. He's presently leading a church planting team in Bathurst, Albania. 150 people, Muslim background, are being reached each week. 25 people have decided to follow Jesus thus far. That may not sound like a big number in this context, but in our context, it's a very strong start to that work. We thank God. Gensi met Jesus through a Damascus Road experience. He was on his way out of Albania to work as an illegal immigrant in Greece. He was caught by the Greek police at the border and turned back. That night, on his way home, Jesus appeared to Gensi and said, "Follow me." Gensi resisted, and like Paul, Jesus blinded him, and he wrestled with Jesus all night long. Finally, in the morning, he surrendered his life to Christ and said, "Jesus, yes, I'll follow you." Jesus opened up his eyes again. He found a church, got discipled, called to ministry, and today is serving, leading this team. God is sending many visions and dreams to reveal Christ to lost people. In our church plant in Skopje, Macedonia, it took 5 years for the first 2 people to come to Christ last year. It is hard ground. Our team there is also reaching out to surrounding villages. The people from the village of Malin said, "We have been here for 400 years, and this is the first time we have ever heard this good news of Jesus. Please tell us more." It is a wide open door for the gospel. Many others are waiting to hear. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save sinners. That's what the Bible says. And you know what, church? He has called us. He has saved us. He has filled us to do the same thing. He wants every one of us to be a witness, seeking and saving the lost, shining to lost people around us. If we will seek lost, least reached people, God has promised to save them. Please see people like God sees people. Seek lost people like God seeks them. Pray for them, those that God has placed around you and beyond you. Pray that God would give you his love, his passion, his faith, his word, his witness for them, and use you to bring them to Christ. When's the last time that you intentionally invited a lost person to drink coffee with you? When's the last time when you intentionally invited a lost person into your home to share a meal with you? For me, it was last Sunday. My daughter Hannah at Atlanta Technical College has been witnessing to a fellow student, young man named Dwight, who's lost and lonely and hopeless. We invited him to church. We invited him to our house to share Easter dinner with us that day. And he told us at the end of the dinner, he said, "It's been a long time since I've had a meal with a family." He's alone. His family has essentially abandoned him. He said, "It's a long time since I've been with a family." And we shared the gospel with him, encouraged him to accept Christ, and I believe he moved a step closer. When's the last time you shared your testimony, the grace of God in your life, how God has changed you, rescued you with some lost, hopeless person that doesn't have the purpose and passion and answers that you have? God's called us. He's called you to reach them. He's promised them to us. If we'll just ask, if we'll only believe, believe in him, believe in the life-changing power of the gospel and in the imperative command of the Great Commission, which is for every one of us as believers. Believe. Share your faith. After believing, God calls us to be baptized. Jesus said in Mark 16, "Who believes, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." In addition to being a public testimony of your faith in Christ, what's the meaning of baptism? What's the significance of this day for you who are going to be baptized and for those of us who have been baptized? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 explain it very well. Verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that those of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Deciding to follow Jesus and being baptized is all about receiving and living a new life. If your life has not radically changed since you have been saved, then you have not been truly saved. It is all about life change. Verse 3 says that those who are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death. We have died to sin, and the sinful nature is no longer our master. It's no longer in control. We are now controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a righteous life like Christ. Verse 4 says that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we have also been raised or changed to live a new life. We are dead to sin and alive to Christ. Baptism is not about getting wet. Baptism is about living a new life. Baptism is not a religious ceremony. Baptism is a celebration of spiritual resurrection. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was lost, but now I'm found. That is what we are celebrating today. Paul said it like this in Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You who have been baptized into Christ, how many of you have chosen to believe, to follow Jesus? Okay, You have died to your old self-centered way of living. You are dead, the Bible says, to pride and greed and lust and immorality and adultery and pornography and bitterness and unforgiveness. These chains, these sins, no longer control you. God has broken their power. You have been given a new Christ-centered way of living in humility, in generosity, in purity, in forgiveness and love and faithfulness. In Christ, the Bible says, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. That is what we are celebrating today. Amen. That's a good point to praise the Lord. After being baptized, God calls us to be his witnesses in all the world. Look again at our text, Mark 16, 15. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In obedience to this call, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the apostles, they took the gospel all the way west to Spain and all the way east to India. They reached their known world in their generation. I believe that we as a church have the same call. We are called to reach our world in our lifetime. May God help us and empower us to do that. Paul said in Romans 15, 20 and 21, that his passion was to preach the gospel where Christ is not known, to those who have not heard it. This is also the heart of my missionary call. Next picture, please. Over 99% of these 40 million people in the Balkans do not know Christ and have not heard the gospel. Without Jesus, we know that they will die in their sins, be rightly judged, and go to hell, be lost forever. Do we really believe that? Do we truly believe that lost people and unreached people are really lost? That Christ is the only way to heaven, to eternal life, for forgiveness of sins? Do we believe it? Do we really care? Next picture. Nearly half of the world, 7 billion people, have not heard the gospel and cannot hear it because they have no witness. They have no access, no opportunity. There are no churches, believers, missionaries, Bibles, no gospel on radio or television in their village, city, region, maybe even in their country. This is the greatest injustice in the world. Most of these unreached people are Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists who live in the 1040 window, which I call the red zone, as you see highlighted in red on the map, of which the Balkans is a part. They are unreached, but they are not unreachable. Going to unreached people means going to the hardest, poorest, and most dangerous places in the world. Next picture, please. The 10 countries where Christians are most persecuted are these: North Korea, Somalia, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Sudan, Iran, Pakistan, Eritrea, and Nigeria. Please pray for these countries. Pray that they would open up to the gospel. Pray that God would send workers. 9 out of 10 of them are Muslim. Every month, 322 believers give their lives for Christ. Every year, many assemblies of God, believers and leaders, suffer and give their lives for Christ. Next picture. Pastor Saeed Abdini, an Iranian American, was imprisoned in Iran for 3.5 years for his Christian faith. He was released on January 16th of this year, along with 3 other Americans. Thank the Lord. We praise God for that. Perhaps some of you prayed for him as I did. But many other believers and leaders remain in prison. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3 says, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. The word compassion literally means to suffer with. Let's remember our brothers and sisters in chains. Let's at least sacrifice some of our time to pray for them, that God would strengthen them and deliver them. Next picture. Revelation 20, verse 4 says, "And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God." On February 16th of last year, 21 Coptic Christians from Egypt were beheaded by ISIS in Libya. I was touched hearing the testimonies of these modern-day martyrs for Christ. According to witnesses, up until the moment of their execution, they were worshiping and praying. And the very last words that came out of their lips before the knife was put to their throats were these: "The Lord Jesus Christ." I pray in my life that no matter what the threat or no matter what the price, that my last words will be the same: "The Lord Jesus Christ." I pray that no matter what happens to you, no matter what pressure or persecution or threat you may face for the sake of the gospel, that your last words and first words will be "The Lord Jesus Christ." I pray that after I am gone and people talk about my life, that they will honestly be able to say, "He lived," or "He died for the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his all for the Lord Jesus Christ." I want my life to count for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you want your lives to count for the Lord Jesus Christ? That's why we're saved. That's why we're following him. Paul said it like this in Philippians 1:21. "To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And he did die for the gospel. However, for most of us, the challenge will not be to die for the gospel. Most of us will never have that knife put to our throats or a gun put to our heads. I have been at gunpoint, but thankfully I'm here today to tell you about God's faithfulness. For most of us, the challenge will not be to die for Christ, but to fully live for Christ. And that is what God is calling us to do. I say, in honor of the sacrifice of our Savior and in honor of all of our brothers and sisters around the world who have suffered and are suffering and giving their lives for the gospel, let's live our lives. Let's give our all for the name of Christ. Let's give our all for the cause of Christ, from New Whiteland to the nations. In Jesus' name. Jesus is coming back, and we don't have time to waste. Next picture, please. The civil war in Syria is one of the worst humanitarian disasters of our time. The current refugee crisis in Europe is the worst there since World War II. 11 million people have been displaced. Over 250,000 people have been killed. ISIS is fighting to wipe out ancient Christian communities in Syria and Iraq and to establish an Islamic state. Thousands of refugees have poured into Europe through the Balkans. You've seen it on the news. 10,000 children are missing. Of the refugees that have come into Europe, 10,000 children are simply gone. Human trafficking and abuse are rampant. Pray for these children. Our partners in Macedonia, who are working to feed, clothe, and shelter the Syrian refugees, report that Syrians are coming to Christ every day as they share and live the gospel and share his love. In talking to one group that had just come over, the group was asked, "Have any of you ever heard of Jesus?" And one lady said, "Yes, I've heard his name. We were on our way over from Syria to Turkey in a boat. Our boat was sinking. We thought we were all going to die. And somebody in our boat called on that name, called out the name of Jesus, and we were saved. There's power in that name. Please tell me more. Church, the answer to terrorism and to extremist Islam is not political. It's not military. It's not humanitarian. The only answer is the gospel. Only Jesus can change the hearts and minds of people and nations. And so what do we need to do? We need to pray the gospel. We need to preach the gospel. We need to live the gospel so that these people can come to know the Savior. Next picture, please. Turkey is also part of the red zone that we are targeting to and have been sending out teams to. Out of 75 million people there, there are only 4,000 believers and 150 evangelical churches in the nation. Just to put it into some perspective for you and give you some comparison, Iran, which has the same population as Turkey, has 75 times more believers than Turkey. In Iran in 1979, before the Islamic Revolution, there were only 300 known believers. Today, there are over 300,000 believers in Iran. More Muslims are coming to Christ in Iran today than any other place in the world. In fact, in the last 10 to 15 years around the world, more Muslims have come to faith in Jesus than the last 10 to 15 centuries combined. That is some good news that you will not hear in the media, but it's the truth, and we need to celebrate. So what about Turkey? Just to give you a little more comparison, in America, 1 in 3 people are followers of Christ. In China, 1 in 15 people. In India, 1 in 50. In Albania, 1 in 150. In Iran, 1 out of 263. In Turkey, 1 in 20,000. You have to meet 20,000 people in Turkey to find one follower of Christ. How many of you will pray with me for God to raise up and send workers to this great nation, for God to pour out his Spirit, a strategic place at the crossroads of East and West in the world that God wants to use to reach the rest of the Muslim and unreached world? Let's pray for the gospel to spread and to penetrate, and let's commit ourselves to being his witness from this city to the nations in Jesus' name. Please prioritize your prayers and your giving and your sending toward unreached people. What are you doing to share the gospel where Christ is not known and to send the gospel to those who haven't heard it? Please understand that the gospel is both your right and your responsibility. Jesus said, freely you've received it, and so freely you need to give it out. Every person has the right to hear the gospel. And we, the church, we as believers, we have the responsibility to tell them. That's God's call. That's his purpose. That's his great commission upon us. That's how we follow him, by doing the same thing he did when he was here, seeking and saving the lost. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So believe. Be baptized. Be the witness that God has called you to be. If you believe and are baptized and are his witness, God will save you. God will use you to touch and save many others. How can we fulfill the Great Commission and win the world? What can you do? First thing you can do is pray. Please pray. Please pray for us. Pray for the Syrian refugees in Europe to be saved. Pray for these 10,000 missing children. Pray for more workers to be called to the Balkans, to unreached areas. Please get a prayer card from me or from the table in the foyer. Also, please give. Your faith promise giving every month changes the world. Sends the gospel to people in darkness. Next picture, please. We are raising monthly support and project support for three churches in Albania that need land and buildings, as well as $100,000 towards our church here in Tirana, which needs an addition. It is packed out at 200 people. It needs space for 500 people. A gift of $450 will build one square meter and provide space for one new believer in God's house. A gift of $5,000, and we need several more of those, will make space for 11 new believers, and so on. We need your help. Will you please help us today to build God's house in Tirana? In addition to praying and giving, please go or send others. If you have never been on a missions trip, please go. It's a life-changing experience. If God calls you, go for a lifetime. God is calling. The question from Him today is, who is willing to go? Who can I send? Who in New Whiteland will answer my call, leave everything, follow me, and bring this good news to people who are dying to hear it? Next picture, please. If you want to connect with us more on our website, please see that. We have a lot of resources there. My prayer today is, God, light a fresh fire in me. God, light a fresh fire in us. Jesus, give us your passion, your commitment, your courage, surrender, sacrifice, your love for lost and unreached people. Lord, make me a friend of sinners like you were a friend of sinners. That's the heart of God. And I pray today that you will hear his voice, respond, welcome him in to change your life and use you in a greater way. Let's close our eyes and pray. As we pray, as we prepare to pray today, I want to ask you a few questions. And as we prepare for baptism, first, is there anybody here, you say, Kurt, you're talking about the gospel, about good news, about life change. You're here today and you say, I need Jesus. I need to get right with God. I need to commit or recommit my life to him. If that's you today, he's calling you. He's drawing you. You feel his spirit, his presence in you, drawing you right now. If that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to pray and to respond to God and commit, surrender your life to him. If that's you, please raise your hand and we're going to pray together. Yes, okay. Others? Raise your hand right now. I'm not going to take a lot of time. If you need to get right with God, if you need good news, if you need forgiveness, if you need to repent, if you need to believe, if you need to choose to follow him, raise your hand. Thank you. Others, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Several. We're going to pray. I'm going to lead you in prayer. I'm going to pray with you, but I'm not going to pray for you. All God wants to hear from you, from your heart and your language is, God, forgive me for my sins. I repent. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose from the dead. I surrender. I choose today to follow him. I give my life to you. That's all you need to pray. All right, for others here today, God's speaking to you about being a witness, about being a friend of sinners, a friend of the lost. Maybe it's been a long time since you've had an intentional coffee or a meal with a lost person. God's tugging on your heart. He's speaking to you about your family, your friends, your neighbors, those you work with, those you go to school with. That's where the mission begins. God's speaking to you about that, and you want to make a fresh commitment to be a wholehearted witness for Christ today. Raise your hand. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and empower you, give you wisdom, give you words, give you witness like you've never had before in Jesus' name. Okay? If you're here today, say, Kurt, God's tugging on my heart. And he might be calling me to missions. If you're here and you say, if God called me to missions, I'd be willing to go. Or I feel him calling and speaking to me, and I want to respond to him. I'm willing to go. Raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Okay, several. God's calling. He's asking for more workers. The fields are white. Fields are white. We need more workers. We need more missionaries, especially in the red zone. Hard areas, but areas that need to be reached, Jesus died for them. Okay, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we surrender our hearts to you and respond to you. We pray, God, that you would come and take control of our lives. We give them to you. Thank you for the grace of God. Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. I repent. I turn away from my old life, and I turn to you and ask you to give me a new life, a new heart that will start today. I believe in Jesus, that he came, he died, he rose again, and I surrender my life to Jesus as King, as God, as Savior right now. I will follow you. Please fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me to live for you, follow you, and be your witness. Pray that in your heart, those of you who are committing or recommitting. Lord Jesus, for all that are committing, making a fresh commitment to be witnesses, to be friends of sinners, I pray right now, fill their hearts with grace, love, compassion, courage. Move them, move us to pray and reach out to lost people like never before. There's no other way to follow you. God, you said pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest for workers. Several people have raised their hands. You're speaking to them. They're willing. Lord, put your spirit on them right now. Give them a clear word from you. Let them hear the voice of God. Let them follow the call of God. Let them serve faithfully here and now, and prepare them for the work that you have them for them in the future. God, call, raise up, send out many workers from this church, locally and globally, into your harvest field. Send workers into the red zone. We ask for this, and we believe today. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.